Welcome back, everybody. This is Rick Pettigrew with another batch of fascinating news stories that appeared on Archaeologica this past week. Send us feedback on the Archaeology Channel Facebook page or post a message on our social networking site, ArchaeoSeek. A study of burials from a colonial cemetery in Charleston, South Carolina, reveals that enslaved Africans came from many different places. A big study of bog bodies from Europe creates a big picture showing a long history and lots of violence. The facial reconstruction of a decorated skull from ancient Jericho gives us a glimpse of a man who lived 9,000 years ago. And the skull of a man entombed in a medieval Italian church provides evidence of a gruesome murder. Thanks to everyone for supporting our subscription platform Heritage Broadcasting Service, available at heritagetac.org. We now have hundreds of titles you can binge upon on Roku. Please help us spread the word. Again, that link is heritagetac.org. Our tour program, TAC Tours, will continue this year, including a tour of Viking sites in Denmark. The link to our tour program is at archaeologychannel.org/tours. And now here's Laura Kennedy with the audio news from Archaeologica. We hope you find this to be a valuable part of your day.
Welcome to the audio news from Archaeologica. I'm Laura Kennedy, and these are the headlines in archaeological and historical news for the week of January 8th through the 14th, 2023. We opened this week with a study of DNA from the remains of enslaved people buried during the 18th century in Charleston, South Carolina. The study, reported by LiveScience.com and carried out by University of Connecticut anthropological geneticist Raquel Fleskes and colleagues, shows that African slaves in colonial North America were kidnapped from across Africa and were not buried with relatives. Charleston was a significant port city at this time, receiving close to 50% of all forcibly enslaved Africans who landed on the American East Coast, according to the Transatlantic Slave Trade Database. In 2013, a previously unknown burial ground came to light during renovations in Charleston's historic Ansonborough neighborhood. The small 18th century cemetery contained the remains of predominantly enslaved Africans. Prior to their reburial, the Gullah Society, a nonprofit group that seeks to document black cemeteries, and the African American community of Charleston decided to research the remains. Of the 36 skeletons discovered, only 18 provided DNA samples sufficient to trace their origins, and all but one of them had predominantly African ancestry. Researchers discovered that 12 likely had ancestors from West or West Central Africa, 5 had ancestry from Sub-Saharan Africa, and 1 had ancestry from both West Africa and the Americas. High levels of the element strontium in the teeth of 13 people, which came from the water they drank as children, told the researchers that they were not from Charleston, but likely born and raised in West Africa. The people whose remains were analyzed were not related. Enslaved families were often broken apart. The mitochondrial DNA of one individual, who has been named Kusa, suggests a maternal lineage that included an indigenous North American ancestor. According to the researchers, Kusa's background attests to the presence of African-descended individuals who interacted with indigenous North Americans in the early colonial South. The project identified another adult named Ganda, who was born in Africa and lived only a short time in the Americas. Hailing from West Africa, Ganda had upper incisor teeth that were filed, a common practice in coming-of-age rituals in that area. The combination of ancient DNA, strontium, and skeletal analyses has given Fleskes and her colleagues unprecedented information about African-descended people in Charleston during the time of the transatlantic slave trade. The remains were reinterred in 2019 after the Charleston community gave the ancestors African names and celebrated their lives. The findings were published this week in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Our next story features another study of human remains, this time hundreds of bodies found in bogs and wetlands across Europe. As reported by phys.org, a team of archaeologists has analyzed hundreds of ancient human remains discovered in Europe's wetlands, finding that people were buried in bogs from the prehistoric period until early modern times. The team also found that most of those for whom a cause of death could be determined met a violent end. Several bog bodies are famous for being extremely well preserved, including Lindau Man from the United Kingdom and Tollundmand from Denmark. These individuals offer a snapshot of life in the distant past. Researchers have been able to reconstruct details of their last meals and even causes of death. Most were killed and are generally believed to have been human sacrifices. These well-preserved examples represent only a fraction of the bodies discovered. Dr. Roy van Beek from Wageningen University in the Netherlands and a team of Dutch, Swedish, and Estonian researchers undertook large-scale overview study of the hundreds of bog bodies found in Europe. Their research, published in the journal Antiquity, analyzed more than 1,000 individuals from 266 sites across the continent to create a more complete understanding of bog bodies. The remains examined in this research can be divided into three main categories: bog mummies, the famous bodies with preserved skin, soft tissue, and hair; bog skeletons, complete bodies of which only the bones have been preserved; and the partial remains of either bog mummies or skeletons. The different types of bodies are mainly the result of varying preservation conditions. Some bogs are better suited to preserving human tissue, while others better preserve bone. Examining all three kinds of bog bodies reveals that they are part of a millennia-long trend. The phenomenon started in southern Scandinavia during the Neolithic, around 5000 BC, and gradually spread over northern Europe. The most recent finds, from Ireland, the United Kingdom, and Germany, show the tradition continued into the Middle Ages and early modern times. The new study also reveals that many finds show evidence of violence. Of the remains whose cause of death could be determined, the majority appear to have met gruesome ends and were likely intentionally left in bogs. This violence is often believed to be ritualistic sacrifice, execution, or murder. Nonetheless, written sources report a significant number of accidental deaths and suicides among the bog bodies. The team also discovered hotspots for bog bodies, wetlands in which the remains of multiple people have been found. In some cases, these finds reflect a single act, such as the mass burial of battle dead. Other bogs were used repeatedly, and their human remains were accompanied by a wide range of objects interpreted as ritual offerings, from animal bones to bronze weapons or ornaments. Such bogs are interpreted as cult places that must have played a central role in the belief systems of local communities. Our third story, reported by LiveScience.com, features a new reconstruction of a 9,000-year-old human skull discovered near the biblical city of Jericho and now held at the British Museum. The so-called Jericho skull is one of seven covered in plaster and with shells for eyes found by British archaeologist Kathleen Kenyon in 1953. Kenyon speculated that the skulls might be portraits of some of Jericho's earliest inhabitants, but more than 50 other plastered skulls from about the same period have since been found throughout the region. They are now thought to be relics of a funerary practice. According to Brazilian graphics expert Cicero Moraes, these prehistoric skulls represent the first facial reconstructions in the world. In 2016, the British Museum released precise measurements of the Jericho skull based on a microcomputed tomography, or micro-CT, a very detailed X-ray scan. The measurements were used to create a virtual 3D model of the skull, which was the basis for an initial face approximation. The new approximation, published online in the Portuguese language journal Ortog Online, uses different techniques to determine how the face may have looked, and goes further by artistically adding head and facial hair. The new facial reconstruction used techniques developed by the researchers and derived from new anatomical studies and statistical projections from 3D X-ray scans of living people. These techniques are also used to plan plastic surgeries and manufacture artificial body parts. Although the skull was initially thought to be female, it was later determined to be male. The new approximation shows the face of a dark-haired man in his 30s or 40s. An unusual feature of the British Museum's Jericho skull is the cranium, which is significantly larger than average. The skull also seems to have been artificially elongated when the man was very young, probably by tightly binding it. Some of the other plastered skulls found nearby also show signs of this feature, but the reason for it is unknown. Jericho, now a Palestinian city in the West Bank, is thought to be one of the oldest settlements in the world. It appears in the biblical book of Joshua as the first Canaanite city attacked by the Israelites after they crossed the Jordan River in about 1400 BC. According to the biblical story, Jericho's walls collapsed after Joshua ordered the Israelites to circle the city for 7 days while carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and then to blow their trumpets and shout. Archaeological research has failed to find any evidence of this event. Moriah's hopes to carry out digital approximations of other plastered skulls from the region. We wrap up our Bones and Bodies-themed week with a skull from medieval Italy. As reported by Science Alert, archaeologists have analyzed a broken skull found in the crypt of a medieval Italian church. It belonged to a young male, thought to be a member of the wealthy Citilio family, owners of the land the church was built on. A life of privilege was apparently not enough to save the man from murder, one he may have never seen coming. Researchers at the University of Siena and University of Insubria in Italy studied 4 large lesions in the man's skull to determine the nature of his death. Physical examinations, 3-dimensional digital microscopy, and CT scans of the bone can tell researchers the nature of an injury, the direction of an attack, and even the type of weapon that might have been used. In this case, the analysis suggests the initial attack came from behind and caused only a superficial cut in the bone at the back of the skull. Perhaps the young man had been attacked by surprise and only just managed to block or dodge what could have been a fatal blow before trying to flee. The nature of the shattered bone suggests there was a single attacker coming at the victim from behind with a sharp metal blade, most likely a longsword. The next blow, called lesion C, would almost certainly have removed the man's right ear, causing a minor hemorrhage, but it, too, was probably not fatal. The third blow appears to have come immediately afterward, causing an even more pronounced break at the lower rear of the skull. Forced onto the ground, the victim may have been fortunate enough to lose consciousness at this point. The final and most powerful blow, lesion A, would have finished him off. It pierced a couple of centimeters into the skull, no doubt causing brain damage and extensive bleeding. Death would have come in moments. The unfortunate man's skull was unearthed in 2006, but this study is the first to use modern techniques to reconstruct his final moments. The man found at San Biagio certainly doesn't seem to have been looking for trouble, but he certainly had experience in martial pursuits. The authors say his right shoulder shows signs of habitual archery practice from a young age. Other parts of his skull also show signs of scarring. Archaeologists might now have a better idea of how this man died, but without any historical records about him, the reason he was killed may forever remain a mystery. That wraps up the news for this week. For more stories and daily news updates, visit Archaeologica on the World Wide Web at archaeologica.org, where all the news is history. Also, be sure to check out our new subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, at heritagetac.org. I'm Laura Kennedy, and I'll see you next week.
This has been the audio news from Archaeologica, presented by the Archaeology Channel. Be sure to check back with us next week for our next edition. You can spread the word about the audio news by clicking on the Share This link on our audio news webpage, or just by telling your friends. Thanks very much for stopping by.